or a series of candidate forums before the November 4th elections continues today with a look at the race for Wisconsin Attorney General. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 21st. We will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Gilman Halstead about the latest happenings in the AG contest. And then Republican candidate Brad Schimmel and Democratic candidate Susan Happ will weigh in on the major issues of the campaign and make their best cases as to why they deserve your vote. Who is going to get your vote for Attorney General and why? Are you following this race? Are you familiar with the candidates? Are you familiar with their stances on the issues? 1-800-642-1234, if you have any questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are joined first by Gilman Halstead, a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in Madison who has been covering the race for Attorney General. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, Joy.
So what are your general impressions of this race?
Well, it's a very tight race, as you said at the introduction. I mean, according to the polling, very similar sort of tracking the governor's race. In terms of polling, they're in a dead heat. The big difference that's been emphasized throughout the polling that's gone on is that there is a large majority, almost two-thirds, definitely more than half of these poll respondents in those polls say they don't know enough about either of the candidates to actually have an opinion. So it appears that there are not a lot of people that are following it, and predictions from political scientists I've talked to say that that voting results are going to follow the governor's race, that people appear to be just deciding to go down the line on party politics.
Yeah. Well, do the political scientists think this is because the race for governor is taking all the the energy out of the air, or is it because the AG race isn't really that visible on television anyway?
Right, it's not visible on television, and people are not going to the websites and or paying attention to the debates. That there's actually only been, I think, one televised debate. Wisconsin Public Radio and Television will be broadcasting another one this Friday. But people don't seem to be, at least a large number of them, don't seem to be using that resource, at least evidenced by the poll. When they're asked, they say they really don't know about them.
Yeah.
So I think that the difference between the two candidates that I've seen in following this and really has to do with first experience in terms of length of time. The Republican candidate Brad Schimmel has been a prosecutor for almost 25 years and a DA for about half that time. And the Democratic candidate, Jefferson County DA Susan Happ, has been a prosecutor for only 6 years. She was in private practice before that. And so there is a difference in the amount of time they spent on the prosecutor's side of the courtroom, which is a lot of what the job of the DA is about, I mean, the Attorney General is about.
Mm-hmm. There is actually also a Libertarian candidate in
the
race.
That's right. We do have a three-way race, and I've talked with Mr. Nelson, Tom Nelson. And he is sort of following his Libertarian principles and saying that he will. He was not included in the polling, so we can't really say much, at least there, about what kind of support he appears to be getting. But he's a Madison attorney and has said that he would like to shrink the size of the Department of Justice, and he'd like to shrink the prison system is one of the things that he's really pushed, that he thinks that we should pay attention to what's going on in Minnesota, where they have half as many prisoners and spend half as much money on prisons, and he'd like to cut down on sending nonviolent drug offenders to prison. That's kind of a list of things that he said. Have you talked to or not?
No, we did invite Thomas Nelson to appear in these candidate forums, but he did not respond to our invitations. We do have, Brad Schimmel and Susan Happ joining us in our next half hour, and they will answer listener questions. Gil, let's talk just a little bit on why should we care about the race for attorney general? Why should we care who our attorney general is? Basically, what does the attorney general do?
Well, he is part of the executive branch of the government, and he's in charge of the Department of Justice. He's in charge of training for prosecutors who are prosecuting criminals, both civil and criminal. He prosecutes cases against companies who violate environmental laws. He defends laws that are his office anyway. Defends laws when they are challenged on a constitutional basis. We've seen a lot of that this year. It's sort of a high profile. The department's had a lot of profile this year because of laws that have been challenged. The voter ID law, the gay marriage amendment, and some abortion regulation laws have all been challenged. And it's the job of the attorney general to defend state laws that are passed by the legislature. Training of law enforcement, prosecution of criminal cases and civil cases, that's really the major responsibility.
Yeah. So
if you're concerned about public safety, at least the candidates would say this, then you should care about this office.
Yeah. Well, the two leading candidates, Susan Happ and Brad Schimmel, have been trading jabs at each
right.
other over which one is softer on crime.
Right.
Give us some sense as to how the campaign's going along those lines.
Well, it's each of their parties have really been pushing this a little bit more than the individual campaigns. They have both said that they would rather not do this kind of tit for tat back and forth, but they've gotten engaged in it. And I think it's partly because it's a way to bring attention to the race. When polls are showing people aren't paying attention, if we can get some back and forth jabbing going on about the way they've personally handled cases, then maybe the electorate will pay more attention. But it has to, most of them have to do with the way they have prosecuted sex offenders, either sexual assault or child sex assault. People who have been charged with those crimes, and they each are accusing each other of being soft on those cases. There's really only one of the cases that has gained a lot of traction, and it's because there was money involved. Back in 2009, Susan Happ, they began in 2012. But anyway, there was a case in her district in Jefferson County where a man was charged with sexually assaulting a child, and this man was in the process of buying a house from Susan Happ and her husband. And she did what she was supposed to do, which was to not handle this case herself because of there being an appearance of a conflict of interest. She handed it off to an assistant DA in her county, but Schimmel and the Republican Party say she really should have asked an outside prosecutor to come in. And so the victim in that case complained to the Office of Lawyer Regulation that the case should have been moved to a different district, but the Office of Lawyer Regulation said no. Happ sort of cleared her on this, said she did what she was supposed to do and was not involved in the case.
Yeah, so the Office for Lawyer Regulation said there was no wrongdoing here, confirmed
right.
that Happ properly recused herself from this case. So is the case closed then, or is there still an issue here?
Well, no, it's definitely still an issue. I mean, the ads are out there, the press releases from both the Schimmel campaign and the Republican Party say there are still doubts about this, and it's an effort to raise doubts in voters' minds about the ethical behavior of Susan Happ, and she's responded saying that the accusations are being taken out of context, and also his the Democrats have also raised similar cases, although not with financial interests involved, that Schimmel has been involved in, where he has cut deferred prosecution deals or reduced charges in cases involving sex offenders. They, each of the parties have a website now where you can go and look at these cases. The Schimmel, the Republican parties is called Half is Hiding, something like that, and the Democratic Party's one is called Schimmel's Wall of Shame, and they'll list these cases so that people can go through them and, I guess, make their own judgment about whether they think those cases indicate a soft-on-crime approach and that that will affect who they're going to vote for.
We are talking with WPR reporter Gilman Halstead about the latest developments in the race for Attorney General in Wisconsin. Welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you following this race? Or do you just intend to vote for the Republican or the Democrat or the Libertarian, no matter who they are? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are taking a look at the issues in the race for Attorney General in Wisconsin with Gilman Halstead, our Wisconsin Public Radio reporter, who is covering this contest. If you have thoughts or questions, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We do have a number of callers, but I wanted to ask you about another case, Gil, that is in the news. The latest Republican Party criticism of Democratic candidate Susan Happ is for how she handled a case of a man with a pipe bomb. Apparently, the GOP is saying, "Hey, you know, Happ dropped these charges, and she's soft on crime." She says, no, I dropped the state charges in coordination with the FBI, the federal charges. He was indicted federally and he was sentenced to 7 years in prison. What do you make of this case?
Well, you've pretty much outlined it there. I guess one interesting thing to me in trying to keep track of what's on those web pages I talked about, the cases where each party is listing mistakes that the other party's candidate has committed. That case has not shown up there. It just showed up in this news release that came out at the end of the week last week. And then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel looked into it a little bit more closely, and the Happ campaign themselves released the documents in the case, which actually make it pretty clear that the reason the charges were dropped against this young man who was caught with a pipe bomb were that she was coordinating with the federal court who decided that the U.S. attorney who then filed these charges similar to what Happ had filed in the case, although it went out of state county court, it moved into federal court, and the defendant was sentenced to 7 years in prison. So it does seem to be a little bit misleading what the party, Republican Party, has accused her of. I haven't seen, though, that case has been, that the party has said, oh, sorry, we were wrong. That hasn't happened. But there's been reporting on it, which at least from, you can read the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can look at the documents and come up with your own decision about whether you think this is an example of being soft on crime or what Happ says, that she was actually working with the U.S. attorney and the man was punished.
Let's go to the phone. Steve in New Lisbon is with us. Hello, Steve. Steve, are you there? Well, Steve is not there.
Okay.
You know what? I'm gonna ask his question because I was gonna ask it anyway. The Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen is in the news. Said yesterday that he is no longer pursuing any avenue or alternatives to try to get voter ID implemented in the November election. He had said he was going to do that after the Supreme Court blocked Wisconsin from implementing the law. Is this going to be an issue in the Attorney General's race?
I don't think so, because both of the candidates have been asked about this in either in the debate format, or the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel interviewed both of them at length in interviews that were streamed online, and both of them basically said the same thing, that they didn't think that J.B. Van Hollen was going to be able to follow through on this. Neither of them saw a way that he could have done it. I mean, there was speculation that the only speculation I heard about how this could actually be implemented would be based on what the Supreme Court said, that the reason they were putting a stay on it was that it was too close to the election. It would have been having to call the legislature back into a special session and make some adjustments to the law, and that seemed unreasonable. So I don't think it's going to have that big an impact on this race or really any of the races.
Ann in Madison is with us. Hello, Ann.
Hi. Well, there's a lot more to the job of the Attorney General than prosecuting individual crime. Things like mining law and its constitutionality and the various other issues are a lot of what the Attorney General does. And when you look at the records of these people, I think you can expect more of Walker and Van Hollen if you elect Mr. Schimmel. And the chief difference between them seems to be that Susan Happ has said that if she finds a law unconstitutional, she will definitely proceed, whereas Schimmel has said that he feels that if a law is a law in the state of Wisconsin, he has to follow it. And I don't think we need an attorney general if you have somebody like that. And I think the Republicans are more afraid of Susan Happ, who in my opinion is an excellent candidate, than Mary Burke even.
Well, I have heard Susan Happ and her supporters saying things like, Gil, that, you know, if there it was a waste of money to continue to appeal same-sex marriage and voter ID and to keep on going after going through the court system defending state laws. You're saying that is a clear duty of the Attorney General. I thought there was discretion.
Well, I guess that's the debate, and that is the key issue. The major issue between the two of them in terms of difference, other than the amount of experience they've had. So whether or not there's discretion, or whether the Attorney General's job, as Brad Schimmel says, is to they are essentially the attorney for the governor and for the legislature, and so their job is to defend what they do. That's his analysis. And Susan Happ says you have to look at the Constitution first. I don't know that it's really clear one way or the other. When I've heard them interviewed and this question posed to them, I haven't really read outside analysts or experts in the law come down one side or the other on your question of whether it's discretion or it's sort of an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that voters are going to be paying attention to, and I think that the base, based on both sides of the party of the voting public, do feel very strongly about that. They support those laws. They think that the Attorney General should be defending them if they're Republican, and they're Democrat. They say, well, these laws are being challenged all over the country, and they're being found unconstitutional, so we shouldn't be spending our time defending them here.
Yeah. Well, all right. So there's one big issue that the candidates differ on. We have just a couple of minutes to go and not a lot of time. What are some other or another area where the two candidates differ in their stances on the issues?
Well, There's not a lot of difference. They both say that they're going to step up prosecution of heroin dealers and support the increased use of drug courts to help people who are addicted to heroin. They're pretty much on the same track there. When it comes to the another issue that has gotten a lot of attention, which is the first offense drunk driving, whether that should become a criminal offense in Wisconsin, as it is in many other states, they pretty much agree that this should be looked at more carefully in terms of how much money it's going to cost before we move ahead with that. There's some minor differences within how they would handle drunk driving, but on the major one there of making it a criminal offense, they agree.
Well, we have just a minute to go. What are you going to look for in the second debate on Friday night?
Well, I'm going to look for whether or not they end up spending a lot of time talking about these individual cases that each of them are charging each other with having mishandled, or whether there's going to be a more of a focus on the kind of experience they have and how they may differ on that that issue of discretion or requirement to defend state laws.
Great. Thanks very much, Gil, for being with us. Gilman Halstead is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in Madison who's been covering the race for attorney general. And we will, Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, be carrying that attorney general candidate debate on Friday, October 24th from 7 until 8 p.m. We'll also follow up on Monday morning on our state capitol report after 7. Our series of candidate forums continues today with the two leading candidates for Wisconsin Attorney General. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Tuesday, October 21st. Republican Brad Schimmel joins us first. Democrat Susan Happ joins us next. Libertarian candidate Thomas Nelson did not respond to our invitations to appear. Call 1-800-642-1234 or email your question for Brad Schimmel to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Brad Schimmel is the Waukesha County District Attorney and Republican candidate for Wisconsin Attorney General. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says he is giving up on finding a way to get a voter photo identification law in place for the November 4th election. He had said that he was looking for alternatives to have the voter ID requirement in place despite the U.S. Supreme Court blocking the law. Was it irresponsible for the Attorney General to even say he was going to try to find a way to implement voter ID after the Supreme Court did what it did?
Well, I don't know why it would be irresponsible. You know, certainly his job is to defend the laws of Wisconsin. So if there was a way to satisfy the concerns of the U.S. Supreme Court that would convince them to change their position or lift the injunction, you know, then you could do it. I don't know that it was a practical thing to try to do. The time was short, and it was getting shorter. You know, that was the concern that the Supreme Court had. They haven't said that the law is not constitutional. They've simply said there wasn't enough time between when the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals decision came down and when Election Day was coming up. And time was getting shorter and shorter, so it just doesn't seem practical that there was any way to make that all happen in time. So, but irresponsible? No, I wouldn't agree with that, because that's actually his job as a state's lawyer.
Yeah. Some Democrats had suggested he was just trying to add more confusion to the confusion.
I don't know whether that confused anybody or not. It certainly, it was simply a matter of he was looking for ways to defend our law.
Yeah. Talk more about why you think it is the Attorney General's job to defend all state laws. Isn't there some discretion?
Well, laws that are passed by our legislature are entitled to a presumption of constitutionality. So until they're proven to be unconstitutional, we presume they are. So the Attorney General should defend the laws passed by our legislature until a court makes a determination that they're not. there are rules like regulatory agency rules that the Attorney General has discretion to determine whether they conflict with the statutes, and then could so advise the regulatory agencies on that issue. But beyond that, no, our laws passed by the legislature are the law, and that's the job of the legislative branch.
Can you explain why then Attorney General Van Hollen, didn't he choose not to defend the state's domestic partnership law, or not defend the Government Accountability Board in the most recent John Doe-related lawsuit?
Well, with respect to the domestic partner registry, I think that was the wrong decision. I'm not running against J.B. Van Hollen. I'm not running to be him either. And there are going to be decisions I'll make that are different than his. I think that was a mistake. The domestic partner registry was a law passed by our legislature. Ultimately, the Supreme Court did determine that it doesn't conflict with our state's marriage amendment, which has since been struck down. So it's all kind of, at this point, irrelevant. But at the time, I think it was the wrong decision to say you wouldn't defend it. And I'm sorry, the other issue you raised.
He's in the news recently for saying the Attorney General's office won't defend the Government Accountability Board in the John Doe related lawsuit.
Right, and the primary reason that was cited for not representing the GAB in their actions is because there's a conflict, because the AG's office was also representing Judge Peterson, who was one of the judges who presided over the John Doe for a period of time. So because of that, the AG can't represent both. So outside counsel has been appointed to represent the GAB, and that's what has to happen when there's a conflict like that. When the office has a conflict, they have to get out and get outside counsel without the conflict of interest. He also stated that he couldn't defend some of the positions that the GAB had taken, and that when a regulatory agency is acting outside of the authority given to it by the legislature, you can have an attorney general that's got to advise the regulatory agency that they're not following the rules.
So what's the biggest difference between you and your Democratic opponent, Susan Happ?
Well, I think there are two fundamental differences, and one is our philosophy regarding the role of the Attorney General. My opponent very much wants to be an activist. She wants to determine policy, and that's the job of the legislature. She has talked about making her determination that laws are unconstitutional, which is the job of the courts. The Attorney General is part of the executive branch, should be enforcing the law with an even hand. So that's one of the fundamental differences between us. The other is experience. We have got tough public safety challenges in Wisconsin. We need an attorney general with the experience to take those on. I've got 25 years as a frontline prosecutor. She's got 6 years as a frontline prosecutor. But I don't measure this. I don't measure experience just by time in the chair. I also measure it by leadership. And there is no comparison between the two of us. I've been a statewide presenter on multiple occasions for law enforcement, prosecutors, health professionals, child protection workers, educators, for all those things over many years now. I was part of creating the state's first victim impact panel for chronic intoxicated drivers, part of creating the state's first full-service child advocacy center, part of the state's Good Samaritan Task Force that created the HOPE legislation that Representative John Nygren proposed and which passed our legislature unanimously. I serve on the State Crime Victim Council. I serve on the State Judicial Council. I serve on the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association Board of Directors. All of these things are why 89 sheriffs and district attorneys, elected sheriffs and district attorneys, from both Republicans and Democrats, as well as the one independent, why all of them have stepped up to publicly endorse me to be the next top cop for Wisconsin, because they know that I'll put public safety ahead of politics. That's been my record as a district attorney. And I also have the state's largest police unions, the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, the Milwaukee Police Association, the Wisconsin Troopers Association, the Fraternal Order of Police. All of them have been familiar with my work over the years as a leader among prosecutors, and that's why they're supporting me. So those are the two differences. The enforcing the law with an even hand and not picking and choosing which laws I like and will choose to enforce or defend, and the ability to hit the ground running on day one to take care of our tough public safety challenges.
The Democratic Party built a wall of shame website in an effort to paint you as soft on sex offenders. While you don't have to go into a detail-by-detail analysis of all of the cases, what's your response to that charge that you're weak on sex crimes?
I've actually, unlike my opponent, I've actually been recognized for my work on behalf of have children and women who have been victims of sexual assault and child abuse. The Wisconsin Association of Victim Witness Professionals named me their Professional of the Year for the whole state of Wisconsin for my work on behalf of those victims. I have been recognized by my peers as a leader of this, and that's why I get invited to speak at statewide conferences most of the time on that very issue, on dealing with sex offenses and violence against women and violence against children. I've even spoken at conferences outside the state of Wisconsin. Unlike my opponent, I have handled thousands and thousands of cases over the years personally. With 25 years experience, I've been recognized as one of the most aggressive in defending victims of these kind of crimes, and have taken dozens and dozens of sexual assault cases to trial and have a fantastic record of success getting convictions against those people. You know, while they've cherry-picked a few cases that, you know, amendments had to be made on something, I've had victims who've come forward. There are even TV commercials running with victims who came forward and said, we want to help, like the Anthony Balestrieri case where I prosecuted a powerful elected official in my county for sexually assaulting his kids. One of those victims came forward and wants to help the campaign. I prosecuted down in Racine County for another county prosecution for them where they had a conflict. I prosecuted a veteran law enforcement officer who was sexually assaulting his daughter. And under both of those circumstances, I worked very hard, and we had great positive results in the end, where not only did those offenders get locked up for decades as a result of the jury trials, those victims, because of the help I was able to give them, have healed and are both doing great things with their lives, contributing back to society.
Well, I have to jump in because we have
soft on crime.
Yeah, so we have 1 minute for your closing argument. Why are you the best candidate to be Wisconsin's next attorney general?
Oh, well, I've kind of hit it already with the tough public safety challenges we face, like the heroin and prescription opiate problem. I have a comprehensive plan you can find on my website, bradshimmel.com, my Stop Heroin Plan, Support and Training for Opiate Prevention. It will help Wisconsin turn this problem around and stop our young people from dying. And I have a track record that proves I can implement these things, like as Waukesha County DA leading the state of Wisconsin in prosecuting drug dealers who are killing people. Also, leading the state in creating programs that provide funding for drug treatment courts throughout our state. I led the charge to create our drug treatment court, which has been up and running for about 3 years now and very successful. I'm also part of the state's first alcohol treatment court. All these things demonstrate that I've got the experience and the leadership to lead Wisconsin's public safety community.
And we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Brad Schimmel is the Waukesha County District Attorney, Republican candidate for Wisconsin Attorney General. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our Attorney General Candidate Forum. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are now joined by Susan Happ, the Jefferson County District Attorney and Democratic candidate for Attorney General. If you have a question for her, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Susan Happ joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me ask you the same question I asked your Republican opponent, Brad Schimmel. Your reaction to Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen abandoning any hope of stopping or implementing the voter ID law in November?
I'm obviously very pleased. I've had expressed extreme concern from the very beginning you know, about our voter ID law, not just in terms of its content and the potential, you know, disenfranchise. I think some estimates have been up to 300,000 people, but also, you know, how close it was going to be implemented, you know, in this campaign. That was certainly a concern, was that it was going to be implemented so close to the election that people might not understand, you know, what was required of them. You know, many people have been voting absentee, haven't even ID in years. And so I'm very pleased that, at least for the time being, you know, Wisconsin's voter ID law will not be the law for this election cycle.
Do you think it was irresponsible for the Attorney General to even say he was going to try to find a way to get voter ID implemented, even though the Supreme Court had blocked it?
I was disappointed. I wouldn't go so far to call it irresponsible, but I was disappointed because it certainly was something that once they ruled, he certainly could have let go just for, you know, for the time being and certainly, you know, not cause concern, I think, for lots of voters. You know, I had a 93-year-old gentleman, an attorney who I talked to, said his dad, 93 years old, and, you know, sent in his absentee ballot only to have it sent back with a list of instructions and was, you know, understandably confused. And those are the real life implications of our voter ID law. You know, you have real people who have been voting for years and years and suddenly, you know, maybe not able to exercise that very important constitutional right to vote.
Your opponent says that it is the Attorney General's job to defend the laws of the state of Wisconsin. Do you agree or disagree? Hello, Susan Happ. I don't know why we don't have her online, but we will try to reconnect. And I will wait for a thumbs up. Will I get a thumbs up? All right, so 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question for Susan Happ, who is the Democratic candidate for Wisconsin Attorney General, currently the Jefferson County DA. We just heard from her Republican opponent, Brad Schimmel, the Waukesha County District Attorney. We did invite Libertarian candidate Thomas Nelson to appear in a forum, and he did not respond to our invitation. So sometimes telephone technology foils us, and we lost our connection with Susan Happ, and we're trying to get her back on the line, and we have her back on the line. Susan Happ, I don't know, we just lost connection with you. So
I am so sorry.
That's okay.
Technology is great when it works.
Let's just move on to some other issues. What do you think differentiates you from your Republican opponent, Brad Schimmel?
You know, I think in terms of the actual differences between us, you know, I wasn't handpicked by my party. So in terms of, you know, how I got here, I had a tough three-way primary. You know, wasn't handpicked by my party. And in terms of, you know, how I got here, the people chose me. And I think I'm a candidate, you know, where I come from. Jefferson County is a very Republican county. We, you know, in terms of my election, I was first elected in 2008 to become the first Democratic district attorney in 70 years. And so, you know, I am able to point to my record of working in a Republican county, working with Republican elected officials to show that, you know, I truly can keep the politics out of my position. You know, that's what I've done as district attorney. What I'll do as Attorney General.
Yeah, Lee, do you think it is the Attorney General's job to defend all state laws?
Yeah, you know, in general, you know, you take the oath to defend our laws, but you also take the oath to defend our Constitution. And that's really where I think my opponent and I have a sharp contrast. You know, in terms of, you know, the past three attorneys general, they have, in select cases, said there are certain laws that were blatantly unconstitutional and they would not defend, including the current attorney general. J.B. Van Hollen did not defend the domestic partnership registry. My opponent originally said he also would not defend the domestic partnership registry, but then he later changed his mind on that. And then even now, you know, J.B. Van Hollen has said that he wouldn't defend the law relating to coordination of outside groups with campaigns. And my opponent, when asked about that, said that he would have to think about that. So with me, you know, I talk straight. We always know where I stand, and there are select cases where I have said I would not defend those laws, the first being our now unconstitutional ban against same-sex marriage.
So what's your response to the attacks that you have been soft on crime? most recent case, the GOP criticized you for how you handled a case regarding a man and a pipe bomb, even after learning the talk about that. What was your response?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that is just an incredible, a poignant example of the extreme that they're willing to go. It's distraction and subterfuge, quite frankly. So in the case that you're referring to, Christopher Hamlin was charged by my office with possession of a pipe bomb, a felony, and ultimately I was contacted by the federal government, who said that they wanted to charge him because it was a serious case. I agreed that they could take the case. They expected that they could get a more serious sentence in federal court. And so once they charged him federally, I did dismiss my case. But to suggest that that makes me soft on crime when he was actually able to get a 7-year prison sentence, I think is disingenuous at best.
Yeah, the Office of Lawyer Regulation cleared you of any ethical violations in a sexual assault case that that the Schimmel's campaign was criticizing you over. Talk some about that case.
So that was a case where a gentleman, Dan Reynolds, had been referred for a sexual assault case related to an incident that had been alleged to have happened many years earlier. When I saw the name, I recognized the name, and so I promptly screened myself off. And I recognized the name because my husband had a home that he sold to Mr. Reynolds, and it was marital property, so I signed the land contract as well, and I recognized the name. And so because I knew Mr. Reynolds, I did not have any involvement either in the ultimate charges that were filed, or, you know, the cases that progressed, or the ultimate resolution, which is exactly what our Supreme Court rules in Wisconsin require. And, you know, Brad Schimmel's done that on his own cases. He has a case right now with Bill Cramer, who is a Republican donor to my opponent's campaign. And he appropriately screened himself off. Another person in his office handling that file. And, you know, that's what I did in the Reynolds case. And I think the really unfortunate thing about all of it was that, you know, I didn't want to comment originally because I really didn't think it was going to be an issue because I knew I had followed my ethical rules. But there was a victim in all of this, you know, and that was my primary focus, even though that had been put, you know, into the spotlight by some of her comments and by the complaint. I just, you know, wanted to still protect, you know, her privacy. Yeah. Right. So I was really, you know, disappointed with how much coverage it got, and then further disappointed by my opponent's campaign and by the Republicans when the complaint was dismissed. The Republican radio ads that had been running were found to be false, and yet when my opponent was asked last week about his campaign manager even calling me a liar and about those radio ads that were found false to be running, he said he was okay with that. And I think, you know, those are the types of what I'll call partisan politics and, you know, negative personal attacks that the voters of Wisconsin are tired about. Yeah. Now, I want to talk about how we're going to make this state better and how we're going to protect our citizens.
Well, tell us in our less than a minute why people should vote for you for Attorney General.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm an experienced frontline prosecutor. I have endorsements from law enforcement throughout the state of Wisconsin. I've locked up serial killers, you know, heroin dealers, sexual predators, domestic abusers. I've made protecting women and children a priority for me as district attorney, and it's going to continue to be a priority as attorney general. You know, I'm going to fight to protect our rights, and that includes the rights for women to make their own health care decisions, to be paid fairly for their work. And as we discussed, you know, I've got that proven record of working with Republicans and Democrats alike to protect our citizens. So I won't bring any sort of partisan political agenda to that office. And folks are always going to know where I stand, and I'm going to work my heart out.
That's
the citizens of Wisconsin.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you, Susan Happ, for being with us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.